With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome in to On Texas Football, Sunday Night Live Stream. I'm Bobby Burton, joined by Jerry Hamilton and CJ Vogel of On Texas Football, sponsored tonight by Joe Brown, the veteran mortgage professional over at Southside Bank. We appreciate his sponsorship. Longhorns, Jerry and CJ had 17 official visitors in over the weekend, seven of whom had already committed to the Longhorns. But I tell you what, you guys were out at the airport seeing a bunch of them off. Jerry, I'm going to start with you and ask you about Jamie French, the wide receiver out of Jacksonville Beach, Florida, Mandarin High School. You talked to him today at the airport. What did he have to say?
Yeah, I think about the same as what we'd expect. He had a great visit. I think it's pretty clear. He said everybody's even, but let's make it pretty clear. We believe Texas is in a comfortable spot in this one. No more official visits. Obviously, Ohio State's not in it. I mean, he threw them out there, but he said not really. It's Texas, it's Tennessee, it's Miami, it's LSU. But I think Texas leads. I was told again this weekend that him staying in state's probably not happening. So you can maybe cross Miami off that list. Wouldn't be shocked if it doesn't come down to Tennessee as the competition. But I think Texas is in a good spot. And he mentioned the possibility of coming back in July for the pool party, which we'll see if that happens, but he's done with the visit process. He's maintaining his August 30th commitment. So it'll play out a while, at least in terms of publicly. I don't think the colleges will be waiting that long to know if they're getting Jamie French or not. I do think he'll wait until August 30th to announce his decision.
Well, CJ, the question then I bring to you is, what about Kalik Lockett and DeCorian Moore? You were at the airport this afternoon when DeCorian Moore's relatives show up after getting back from their trip to Oregon over the weekend. Of course, he has some relatives that live in Austin. Where does this leave Texas with the wide receiver recruiting room? Kalik Lockett, everybody thinks, had a great official visit to the Longhorns this week.
Thanks, CJ. Hey, froze.
CJ is frozen right now. Jerry, what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, so I think Lockett, what was interesting was KJ Lacy's interview with us. KJ Lacy was very positive on Jamie French and said Kalik Lockett's still trying to figure it out. I think that is the reality for Kalik Lockett. I think Alabama has confidence in Kalik Lockett. I think FSU thinks they're right there in it. A&M thinks they're right there in it. We'll see. Well, I think DeCorian Moore remains a heavy Texas lean. I don't feel like there's a picture of French and Lockett. I don't think Oregon is a player for DeCorian Moore. I think it's Texas, and I think Ohio State second. The question really becomes, we've been saying this, Bobby, if behind the scenes, the Kalik Lockett thinks DeCorian Moore and Jamie French are going to Texas, then is he really going to go to Texas too? I think there's a thought amongst college coaches recruiting Kalik that won't happen. We'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you, the thing that gets me, and we welcome CJ Vogel back in now. CJ, if we talk about this and the timeline, Jerry's just going over it, of all these players, what have you heard specifically on Lockett and French since Jerry just went over the timeline?
Yeah, I continue to hear really a lot of positives in regards to Jamie French. Jerry, I think you did a great job breaking that one down, kind of giving an idea. Of course, we hear the lip service from Jamie French, and I think that's what it is right now in terms of all teams being equal footing at the moment. Of course, I do think Texas is that team out in front. A little differently on Kalik Lockett. I know that there are some reports out there that Texas is still up in that conversation right now, and they are. Right, I just don't believe them to be the team to beat at the moment, even after this official visit. I've heard a lot of positives in regards to Alabama recently. Of course, he was there earlier this week for a midweek official visit. Florida State's a team to watch, as is Texas A&M, who feels like they might be within striking distance here. I think it's a little bit cloudier for Kalik Lockett than it is for Jamie French. DeCorian Moore, I would side also more so in that Jamie French category as well. But I'll be, you know, again, interested to see if his timeline is sped up in regards to whether or not Texas pushes for him, of course, to go or pop before, you know, what we expect, you know, before season announcement from DeCorian Moore, Jamie French. So right now, I think Texas might just have some work to do there. And again, we've talked about it, Jerry. It's not an easy thing to land 3 5-star caliber wide receivers in the same class. It's very easy if you're, you know, another program outside of Texas competing for Kalik Lockett to say, you know what, you're our number one guy. You won't have to feel like you're being, you know, overshadowed by other guys in the class.
All right. There's some other news breaking around the country right now as well that do involve the University of Texas players or recruits at this time. Nathan Tillman, defensive back out of Mansfield Timberview, that visited Texas midweek. He has decommitted officially from SMU. Texas, a very good possibility there. We'll wait and see how that plays out over the next 24 to 48 hours. But he decommitted from SMU on Sunday afternoon. Also out in Tallahassee, Florida, we talked about this a little bit, Jerry. Big weekend for Mike Norvell and his group at Florida State. Three or four guys that Texas is really interested in: Javion Hilson, defensive end out of Cocoa, Florida; Kevin Wynn, defensive lineman out of Georgia; and Myron Charles, defensive lineman out of Florida. All three of those guys on campus. Two of them, it sounds like Florida State may have done more than enough to get the deal done for two of those three. Give folks an update there.
Yeah, starting with Nathan Tillman, I think Texas has some confidence there. And I know we at On Texas Football like 185-pound actual safeties that run 10-7 in the spring. So we'll see how long Tillman's recruitment plays out. And by the way, we've had a couple of SMU fans on this chat before, and I'm sorry your class has taken on water. That Keelan Russell flip was that was a tough one for SMU. And I don't think they're done. I don't know if somebody from Duncanville's already decommitted and flipped the TCU, but I think that could happen too. So Javion Hilson publicly says he's locked in with FSU. You will see how that plays out. I think Kevin Wynn ends up at Florida State. I'd be surprised if that doesn't happen here early this week, midweek. I think Texas gave it a good run there, but I think FSU is where he's going to be. And then that begs the question, what's up with Myron Charles? I mean, look, if Kevin Wynn goes to FSU as expected, Texas is pretty much down to 40 tackles. I mean, Zion Williams is going to commit to LSU July 4th. So you're pretty much down to keeping Brandon Brown away from LSU. He was at OU this week. I mean, I think OU probably tried to muddy the waters for Texas as much as anything. Not that they don't want him, but I think that's probably going to be your end game there. And then DJ Sanders, I think things are looking really good for DJ Sanders. I think something could happen there inside a week. I think Texas is pushing harder than A&M, so it's going to come down to Texas, Michigan. I think Texas will win that one. But then what comes to what happens with just Josiah Sharma, who's at Alabama this weekend. And the one thing I've said about Josiah Sharma in this recruitment the whole time with Texas is, if he says no to Alabama, That means he has to tell Courtney Morgan, the GM, who's had a long-term relationship with Ann Kalen DePore, no, I'm not coming. There's somewhere better for me. That's going to be the toughest call he has to make in recruiting. We'll see if what happens there, how that shakes out.
All right, we're going to get to some questions, so please get your questions in on this hour-plus live stream that we're going to do. Got a lot of recruiting news and notes to go over. We still got to talk about Michael Sfasusi, Nick Townsend, DJ Sanders, you just mentioned him, Madden Ferramo, Bo Barnes, Cade Phillips, Aiden Anning, Devin Williams, a bunch of guys still to go. Before we get to those questions and talk a little bit more about those, I want to say thank you to our sponsor. That is Joe Brown. He has more than three decades of experience helping more than 4,000 families in his career to finance homes and investment properties, including me. He did my very first home mortgage. Joe is a lifelong Longhorn fan with 2 degrees from the University of Texas and has helped many former UT athletes and professors with their real estate financing. Give Joe a call. He's a proud Navy veteran as well and devout Longhorn fan. 512-663-4744. If you're looking for a mortgage, that's 512-663-4744. Thanks, Joe, for your sponsorship of On Texas Football along with Southside Bank. All right, guys, let's go ahead and start the process. I've got to ask you about five-star Michael Sfasusi. Jerry, CJ, who wants to take it first?
I'll take that. Look, I think he had a tremendous visit to Texas as far as parents, kids, and the kid. Obviously, Sfasusi. I think there remains confidence on the Texas side. I know Oklahoma has confidence as well. Maybe A&M's fading off their early June confidence a little bit. It looks like it's coming down to Texas OU. I think Texas has some confidence on this one, and I can understand why. I think Kyle Flood's combination of development and the process in that resume, I think, not that Bill Beedendaball doesn't have it, but Kyle Flood's got a strong resume for development over time of high school players. Texas hadn't taken anybody from the portal in the offensive line. Something just to keep an eye on there. I think with Sfasusi, I think Oklahoma's selling him on coming in and being able to compete right away, starter day one as a freshman. That would mean Beedendaball wouldn't go to the portal, which is what Oklahoma's done. They've gone to the portal on the offensive line each of the last 2 years. Also with Sfasusi, I think Kelvin Banks had a really good conversation with him. I think Trevor Goosby did a really good job hosting him. And what Trevor Goosby brings as a host after doing some research on this, because he had Lamont Rogers last week, he had Sfasusi this week, is Trevor can talk to those guys about process, about physically building up his frame process and development technically process. I think that's a process-oriented host of two very talented offensive linemen. And yes, Sfasusi wants to come in and try to compete right away, but the message about the process, Kyle Flood's process, Tory Becton's process, I think is why Texas has put Trevor Goosby on Michael Sfasusi this weekend and Lamont Rogers last weekend.
It's good stuff, Jerry. Hey, we're going to go ahead and get going on questions here. If you do put in a super chat, you will move to the front of the line. So let's just start it off that way. KD35, I am the best. Why is Steve Wiltfong confident that Bama can land 3 5-star wide receivers right now, but Texas can't? I don't know that we're confident Texas can land 3 5-star wide receivers. So we can't really second guess why somebody else is saying that someone else can. I mean, look, Bama is in a situation. I would also add this. They don't have the depth chart Texas has right now. Texas actually just took their best wide receiver in Isaiah Bond. So that's part of it. I mean, and there's a new coach there with a different style of offense, et cetera, et cetera. I think that, we can't sit here and bellyache whenever we just don't think it's going to happen for Texas. Not because it couldn't. It's not it's impossible. It's just unlikely. That's why.
Yeah, and somebody else, you have to bring up the question. Somebody asked, has anybody ever signed 3 5-star receivers? Yeah, Nick Saban did. But the kicker with that was Henry Ruggs was not a 5-star till after the All-Star games in January. When he committed, he was a basketball guy with unbelievable upside, but he wasn't ranked that high. Nobody's got 3 5-stars since the recruiting the recruiting calendar really changed, meaning 3 5-stars recruited to the same school in July. before a season. And the other thing with the five stars, this is early rankings. Let's see how things play out. I'm not convinced all these guys being talked about as five stars will ultimately be five stars come next January and December.
All right. Here, this one's from Ashton Lewandowski. Will Texas target Jabari Antoine? That's the young defensive back out of Westgate, former teammate of Derek Williams. That now that he is officially decommitted from LSU, he did that earlier today. Jerry, you have some intel on that, I know.
Yeah, he took an official visit to Miami. I think Miami's a team to watch there. Remember, Derek Williams did as well. So he put somebody else in a three with Miami and LSU. Somebody said it in the chat. What we'll see. Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see, but I don't expect Texas to move on him. Here's the reality. Texas feels good about Aiden Anning. We shall see. As somebody in the chat said, I said that for you. Aiden Anning will decide in the next week, next weekend, maybe a little earlier. That decision's coming. I think Texas is right there in the ball game for Dorian Brew. We'll see what happens. Does he go to Ohio State, the legacy? Does he take the legacy route and go to Ohio State? I expect that thing to go quiet for a little bit of time in a July decision. So I think Texas has the guys they're targeting. Dejon Lee getting some picks for Alabama. That was his last official visit. Alabama's got a little mojo going right now, by the way. For all the things that happened when Kalen DeBoer got hired, boy, they got a little juice right now. I think Texas is locked in on their corners that they want in this class. And they got Caleb Chester committed. And I think if they win out for Aiden Anning, then I think you could see Texas sit back, play the long game as Sark did. They flipped Wardell Mack last year late in that cycle when the coaching carousel gets heated up. Some things behind the scenes start to happen. I think if Texas wins out for Aiden, I think you're going to see them chill at corner and then try to go back and fight for a Devin Sanchez, a Dorian Brew if he ends up at Ohio State, maybe somebody else that commits elsewhere. That's my expectation as of now.
That seems to be, at cornerback specifically, a play Texas has used several times under Sarkisian and Terry Joseph. Of course, you look back at Terrence Brooks flipping him National Signing Day, Wardell Max, another. They've done so, I would say, very well from the secondary perspective, late in cycles. Obviously, Xavier Filson is another guy that you can point to as a late flip. So to your point, Jerry, about where this group is sitting in the secondary room, just get your pieces in the fold, feel comfortable for a minute, and then make that big splash at the end of the cycle. I think that's going to be the continued theme that we see for Texas this cycle.
Bobby, I wanted to add, I spoke briefly with Cade Phillips. I expect a decision there July 4th, July 6th, right around that area. Gird up your loins for all the commitment dates coming up, guys. It's going to be a mad rush starting July 1. There may be two or three before that, but there's going to be a mad rush July 1st through about July 10th. There's going to be a lot of commitments coming at that point in time, whether that's guys Texas wins out for or guys Texas finishes second on ultimately. There's going to be a lot of decisions coming here early July. I think I forgot to say this with Fasusi. I think that one will take a little longer to play out as well. Maybe not privately, but I think publicly, I'm not expecting anything on that here in the month, early July or anything like that right now.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
You have a vision for your business. Your priority might be to
expand facilities
or
bring in the best talent.
At Century Insurance, we listen, learn, and work to understand your business and your plans to help protect your
new locations.
As your business evolves and your vision comes true, Century. Right by you. Property and casualty coverages are underwritten and safety services are provided by a member of the Century Insurance Group, Stevens Point, Wisconsin. For a complete listing of companies, visit century.com. Policies, coverages, benefits, and discounts are not available in all states. See policy for complete coverage details.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Interesting. All right, good stuff. All right, let's go on to Juan Garza. Jerry, do you think Sark knows he's playing from behind with defensive tackles and have to prove on the field to flip some of these D tackles to Texas? Your thoughts? Or, you know, look, I mean, there was a decision to go out of state for defensive tackles. Maybe it was a necessity in their eyes because the ones in state weren't good enough. But what's your overall take right now on defensive tackle?
Yeah, I think the take for me is they went after the guys they feel like are the very best in the country that they could get in on. If they lose out on enough of those guys, which, you know, right now, if they have 3 to 4 defensive line spots, I don't think they're filling them right now. We'll see. I mean, look, Josiah Sharma has a decision to make. Myron DeCharles has a decision to make. Brandon Brown, do you keep him in the fold? I think DJ Sanders looks good, but that's what it's down to. I mean, Kevin Wynn's going to FSU. And I just think this is what it's down to. Zion Williams commits to LSU on July 4th. So we'll see what happens. But this is kind of Sark's MO in recruiting guys. Nothing's changed. They go after the guys they feel like are the very best in the country. And if they don't get those guys, they'll still recruit through the whistle, kind of hang around the rim and see what happens come November, December. And it's nothing. Look, that's the same thing that happened at offensive line in 2022. It's the same thing that happened at defensive back in this last cycle. Kobe Black did not close out his recruitment as early as they expected. Then they ended up having to flip Filsimi and Wardell Mack. Same thing happened there. I think that's just the way Sark plays this recruiting game is you go after the very best you can at each position. And if you don't fill those needs initially, you hang around the rim, kind of watch that coaching carousel, stay in contact with guys while also evaluating senior films. Xavier Filsimi did not have an offer this time last year, and he was one of the top 50 ranked players in the country at the time. So I think that's kind of Sark's MO. That's what they're going to always do at Texas.
All right, Jerry and CJ, this one, Nick Townsend out of Spring Decaney, tight end or defensive end. You were there when he said it. Emory Winston earlier today said that Nick Townsend might even be playing some defensive end. It says Texas or A&M or Bama or other. What do you think, CJ?
Yeah, it was Emory Winston who basically was like, I don't know if he's a tight end or if he's a defensive end, but regardless, we want him in the class. Of course, I think all of us agree that tight end is exactly where he's best suited long-term at the next level. Really talented kid, the athleticism and the physical aggression he's got at the line of scrimmage. I thought Texas did very well with him this week. Of course, being able to use Jatavion Sanders as a hey, look at what you could be at Texas is a big selling point right now. Of course, you can also look at Amari Nyblack and say, you know what, we can stretch the field with your speed and you could be as big a vertical threat as anywhere else you could end up at the University of Texas. And right now I think it's resonating with Nick Townsend. So Texas in a good spot right now. Of course, Texas A&M, a team to watch out for as well, even with the Keyote Armstrong commitment earlier this week. But I like where Texas sits right now. And again, Emory Winston said, I like to play with good players. He's a guy that I could see myself lining up with alongside the Texas offensive line, tight end spot right there. So Texas did well this weekend with Nick Townsend.
I'll add this. If I'm Amari Winston, I see that guy. I'm hoping he plays DN. But no, I think he's a tight end all the way, and I think he's going to be a great player.
Hey, Jack, I would be neglectful if I didn't ask you, when we talk about Nick Townsend, he's from Spring Decaney, high school teammate of Tanook Hines. He was on an official visit to Notre Dame over the weekend, I believe. Kelshon Johnson stayed at home, I think, wide receiver out of Hitchcock. What was the latest on those two coming off of their official visits, and what else is going on in their recruitments at this point?
Yeah, so I think with we'll start with Kelshon Johnson. He canceled USC, stayed home. He's deciding between A&M and Texas. I think that happens before July 11th. I don't think we have a date yet unless something happened when I was on the road today. I expect it before July 11th. I expect them to have a decision between A&M and Texas before that date. As Tanook Hines,
He was at Baylor this weekend, Notre Dame the prior weekend. I think Tanook Hines and Nick Townsend will announce July 7th or July 8th. Like I said, a lot of these guys are committing before July 10th, 11th, right in that area. There's going to be a lot of guys on Texas board that are going to be coming off the board. And then I think you'll see some others like Nick Brooks, like Fasusi, like Jamie French, carry theirs out a little longer, even if the colleges kind of know where they stand in those recruitments. I think some guys have some dates picked out for a reason that they want to announce. So I think that's one thing they expect there moving forward. But Tanook Hines, I think that Notre Dame's been pushing for him the longest. We'll see what happens with Texas there. Both of those guys visited USC together. I'd be surprised if USC is the pick, though. I think Townsend's out is going to the SEC, and I think it's going to be Alabama, Texas, or Texas A&M.
Hey, Jerry and CJ, the next guy we got to talk about, people are asking about, a lot of them impressed in the chat about Madden Ferrembo, the linebacker out of San Juan Capistrano Valley, that at Junipero Serra High School, Catholic High School out there in California. My question for you guys is Texas really involved now? We thought he was a foregone conclusion of sorts to Notre Dame. Did Texas do enough to put themselves in position here? In either of y'all's opinion, whoever wants to take that question.
I think they did. I think this weekend was a very strong impression for Madden Ferrembo as he heads back west. And I say that because, you know, I think anticipated this being the first visit for him to come to Austin. He confirmed it was his second. So he's been to campus before. He's seen the program a little bit. That's big. You know, you have that extra visit and, you know, interest shown from his side with the Texas program previously. Of course, Leonga LaFau was his player host. He talked a lot about his relationship with Johnny Nansen and how they plan to use him, which is as a Mike backer at the next level. So, again, you saw the interview, and I know we've seen a lot of comments right now about how well-spoken he is. He's a tremendous kid. He's got a great brain on his in his head right now. I mean, that is a smart football player on and off the field. And he's really taking into consideration what Texas can offer on and off the field. He talked about the networking opportunities, which has been a recurring theme so far this month with kids coming in for official visits, just using life outside of football in the city of Austin. Texas did a great job with that this weekend as well for him. Of course, he had that big quote as well. If you're a football player, how do you not end up at Texas? That's a little bit telling as well. Again, I think Texas evened the playing field a little bit with Notre Dame. They made a very strong impression there, and I wouldn't be surprised if they continue this momentum going into the summer months and we see some movement with him later on.
I want to add this, and this is why you go to the airport. This is why we go to the airport. Okay, here's a story. You and CJ were on the live stream on Friday, and I was sitting there waiting for the last few guys to come in. And Texas has somebody that picks these guys up, right? It's not one of these coaches. It's one of the staffers. And the guy walks up to Madden and kind of gives them a hug, said, good to see you back again. And I went and put that on our OTF weekend thread. I said, hold on. This guy's been on campus before, and it was never reported. That was the second time he had been on campus. So Johnny Nansen, he works quietly down here sometimes, but that's why we go to the airport. It's kind of like when we broke that Brandon Brown was visiting Oklahoma last week when he got off the plane. That's why we do what we do here, not tooting our own horn, just saying that's why we do it. You can legitimately pick up something very important just by hanging around the rim, as we call it.
Hanging around the rim.
I want to add one other thing. So Texas took Madden and family to a Catholic church there in Austin because I do think that is – a big part of that recruitment, and you've seen it before with Notre Dame and some kids in Southern California. Just a FYI on that.
Got it. All right. Got a couple more things going on here that we need to talk about and get to. A lot of people want to know about Riley Pettijohn's visit to Texas A&M, the other linebacker Texas is pursuing alongside Jonathan Cunningham out of North Crowley, as well as Bo Barnes. I think you guys know that Bo Barnes, his father, brought down the house last night in karaoke, I'm told. Very, very funny, but also very the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, as CJ Vogel said earlier today. Bo, a fun guy to talk to. His dad apparently did a great rendition of Love and Happiness at the karaoke last night.
I love it.
Jerry, question I had for you on this is about Riley Pettijohn. You or CJ, either of you guys have any updates on that visit from A&M at this point?
CJ said something on OTF. I'll let him take that.
Yeah, I think the race is very tight. It's Ohio State, it's Texas A&M, and it's Texas. There's confidence coming out of College Station following this weekend. I think coming into the week, it was kind of more seen as, just get them on campus and we'll see. I think A&M knew that they were battling from behind a little bit. Right now, I'm not so surprised that they're as far back as we originally thought coming into the weekend. Of course, there are some factors pulling towards Texas here as well. I'm not saying this is a foregone conclusion that he's not in the picture for Texas anymore. It's just a little bit tighter. Ohio State has felt confident. They've exuded that as well. So, again, I just think that it's a little bit tighter than originally expected, of course. And with Manfred Ramo now kind of on the other side coming up with Notre Dame there, I don't know. I don't know if there's a pecking order 1-2 between the two. I'm sure it's been talked about behind the scenes, but it's certainly tighter right now for Riley Pettijohn than we thought.
I'll answer this one from Connor kind of on that. I would say that's less than 50-50. I didn't read the question for the podcast. Connor, does Texas have a legit chance of signing Barnes, Pettijohn, and Framo? I'd put that at less than 50-50.
Yeah, you're not gonna get those three. It's kind of like what we're talking about at wide receiver.
Bingo.
I mean, you're not gonna do that. So we'll have to wait and see. Hey, what do y'all think about this? You know, we just talked about the difficulty at defensive tackle recruiting or what we've yet to see happen at defensive tackle. Stephen Houston says, the thing is, with UT NIL and the portal, you can supplement defensive tackles a bit if you aren't hitting on your high school targets. There's some truth to that, but what about first-round draft picks? They're not in the portal very often. No, right. Like Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat didn't go to the portal.
No. I remember all the talk about the Michigan guys going to the portal. They didn't go in the portal. Those guys, look, the best player or upside prospect that position that was in the portal last year was Dominic Williams. That's why it was a serious green competition. I mean, those are few and far between that got a D lineman that talented. Now, what you can do sometimes is it maybe find one of those smaller school guys, an FCS guy or a lower D1 guy that's developing and is more of a 2-year player, I think, not a stopgap 1-year player, but the real high end talent at D tackle. I mean, just think about all the rumors. This guy's jumping in the portal. This guy's jumping in the portal. Think about how many actually do. I mean, look, if a guy's a great D tackle, Georgia's not letting the guy go in the portal. I mean, if Bear Alexander was a first-round pick in their eyes, they weren't going to let him jump in the portal. And it also helps if you have 17 other guys. Don't get me wrong. But it's just very rare where those guys actually do go in the portal.
Yeah. No, I like that. The other thing I was going to mention is, those portal recruitments, they're not slam dunks, right? You want these guys in your program. We listed out, four guys Texas was interested in, and they ended up elsewhere, whether that be Bear Alexander, Jade Toya from UCLA, Jamari Caldwell from Houston. Of course, Dominic Williams was the big one. I know Texas got their pieces, but those are all, guys that you would expect to be impact guys in 2024. And it's a different game recruiting defensive linemen in the portal versus out of high school, where you can kind of mold these guys and get them on roster for 3 or 4 years potentially to kind of shape them the way that you want. That's exactly what we saw with Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat there. It's different. You want these guys in your program for multiple years at a time before you throw them into the fire.
I want to do this one real quick. Vince, I think he came into the chat a little late, it's growing by the hundreds every minute. Vince, how do we feel about Lockett, French, Moore? Feel great about Moore. Feel really good about French. Lockett's a wait and see. But I think if behind the scenes, if it looks like Moore and French both go Texas way, I think I'd be a little surprised if all three went to the same school.
Hey, Jerry, can I ask you on the receiver front? What the numbers will look like, 3-4, is it determined? Do we know? And then, of course, what I'll ask you, and I'll answer this as well, what is the dream situation for you in terms of what this group will look like? I've seen that asked a few times. I wanted to get that conversation going.
Yeah, I think 3 or 4. I think it's gone back and forth, right? I don't think Texas is going to take 4 to take 4. I think it's got to be the guys. And I'll say this again. if you get three guys early, and I'm not saying the three they just asked a question about, but I'm saying three guys, saving a spot, see what kind of happens this year. What does your room look like? What do some of those young guys look like? Are all those portal guys for sure going pro? Come back, hang around on a Dallas Wilson out of Tampa Tech, see if you can get him on campus, see what happens in the coaching carousel. I don't think Texas will take four just to take four. I think it'd have to be the right four for Texas.
Got it. All right, guys, here's something that Jedi Master Bevo posted that I wanted to say thank you as well. Jerry and CJ, thank you for all the work you put into these visit weekends for Longhorn Nation. We appreciate that as well, Jerry. All right, so we've got time for a lot of questions here, so feel free, come on with them. We're going to be answering questions at least for another half hour here. We'd love to hear what you had to say and what you want to know about, and we'll get going with them as soon as we get them. Jerry, here's a question for you, right? And this is one.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
It's not necessarily a question, as it is a comment. From Casey, Texas needs to start splurging at defensive tackle with regards to NIL. What do you think about it? I mean, they didn't do it for Dominic Williams, but I mean, they got three in the portal that obviously weren't just cheap. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yes.
Just yes.
The high school level. I mean, if you're recruiting in national D-line recruitments and you're in the SEC and battling all these schools for them, you can have as many knives as you want in your hand, but you aren't winning the gunfight.
Good stuff, Jerry. That's a good point. All right, from Daniel Earp. How many highs are we at, Jerry? You added one over the weekend.
Well, you know what? I'm going to do something special for everybody tonight. I hadn't put it on the OTF board, but I'm adding an extra high. There's a new one. Yeah, there's a new one. So I think we're about six. We'll see how many of those come to fruition.
Yeah.
There's one. I hadn't even put it on the board yet, but we'll just throw that one out tonight.
And that's why you watch, right? As we go to the airport, that's why you watch.
All right. Some other questions coming in here. Here's one from Grady Jenkins, a longtime viewer. I appreciate it, Grady. I saw a few days ago where there was a prediction put out there for us to land Cade Phillips. How are you feeling about the safety / cornerback, defensive back, really, out of Fort Bend Hightower after this weekend?
Continue to feel very good there. He was probably the name I heard probably the most this weekend about things moving in the right direction. Of course, he was hosted by Derek Williams, so the talented young safety was able to kind of show the lay of the land there. I think Texas A&M are the teams to look at moving forward. But again, LSU is going to be in the fold as well. But right now, I think Texas is that team to beat at the moment coming off of the official visit.
I think it's going to be an interesting recruitment. It's a fun recruitment a little bit, right? I know fans are like, none of these are fun. But because Cade wants a chance at corner, right? And Corey Raymond sold corner. Texas had him in the safety position meeting room this weekend. So does that have an effect? I don't know. To CJ's point, though, he had a great visit to Texas, and I know at least two immediate family members love the idea of him being a student athlete at the University of Texas. I think the thing with Cade is did Texas really talk to him about, you're going to have a shot at corner, because he was in the safety meeting rooms this weekend, which is a little bit of an interesting twist on a recruitment. So it makes it fun.
some of these they can't just be cut and dry. That makes it adds a little intrigue to what Cade's thinking as he gets closer to a decision, which is coming up July 4th or 6th.
Got it. Here's one I've got from Austin Covert. Biggest takeaway from the big OV weekend altogether, guys. What do y'all think? Biggest takeaway. Y'all were out there on Friday welcoming the kids in, and you saw them leave on Sunday at the airport. I'll let you go first, CJ. Jerry, you come back second.
Yeah, to me, and this was kind of the big, theme I was looking at coming into the weekend. Seven commits were on campus, right? And these guys, they talked behind the scenes a little bit. I talked to James Simon after his visit this afternoon, and he was basically saying, yeah, it was a great opportunity for us already in the fold to get to know one another, kind of hang out, for the 2 to 3 days that they were in Austin together, and then start recruiting others. And there were some big-time guys that Texas is hoping to get into this class, whether it be a Jamie French, a Michael Fasusi, a Madden Ferramo. Of course, those are all guys Texas is working for. Lance Jackson, Elijah Barnes. These guys are all big-time recruiters. They're starting to, get an idea of what this class is going to look like at the end of the day. And to me, to have a Michael Fasusi sit around and say, all right, I listen to the players, I'm listening to the coaches, but my peers and other recruits on campus right now telling me why they committed to Texas, I think that goes a long way, and it certainly is going to help in the long run. But just to have all those guys the final weekend as we go into the quiet period of July, then you kind of leave that momentum and that last impression over the next couple of weeks, that's very important. I think Texas did a good job of setting it up in that fashion.
Jerry, what about you? Your biggest takeaway?
Don't challenge Elijah Barnes' dad to a singing contest. Don't go. Don't get in that karaoke fight. Now that's no. That guy's semi-professional. Don't do that, parents of future karaokeing. But no, seriously, I think I think Texas had a really good weekend. I think Texas does a great job. I mean, look, there was a parent of a prospect who I don't think will end up at Texas said Texas, it was the best official visit, even if that's not the best spot for my kid. That's one of the things I heard coming out this morning was. So I think that is the thing. I think Steve Sarkisian, Chris Del Conte, Hartzell, the university, the football program, they all have this thing down. They have put on a great, I call it show, because you're showing everything about the University of Texas, the city of Austin, the Texas Longhorns football program, and athletics as a whole, right? I mean, the whole thing. I think Texas puts on a great show, and I think they're doing a good job, and always obviously helps when you're winning and you have guys that are happy at the University of Texas and a bunch of guys that are going to get drafted. So I think it says a lot, too, about the type of guys that Sark, they feel like they're recruiting, that they're putting freshmen – a lot of freshmen on these guys as hosts for official visits, because Bobby, us growing up in this business, it was always the older guys, right? Texas is putting the freshmen, redshirt freshmen on a lot of these kids. And that said, they're extremely confident in the guys they've recruited early on, just having a lot of them since January. They feel like they got really good fits for the program, because you don't, for them to make those decisions and already have these freshmen, Ryan Wingo hosting multiple wide receivers, right? Even though Trevor Goosby redshirted, hosting five-star Michael Fasusi, four-star Lamont Rogers. Texas has some confidence. Alex January and Aaron Bryant, Alex, there was one of the hosts for DJ Sanders. Aaron Bryant hosted Kevin Wynn last weekend. So these younger guys in the program, it's not just about the third and fourth year guys. Texas is putting these younger guys out there in the program, which says a lot. By the way, that poor man said, go Hoosiers. So he saw a CJ Vogel's Hoosiers little thing here in the right corner.
We had some electrical issues in that room. So I'm in the roommate's room right now. He's a big Hoosier grad. That's where that's coming from, folks.
Hey, you mentioned all the guys hosting and whatnot. Arch Manning hosted KJ Lacy as well, Jerry. Is that and CJ, is that accurate?
That yes. Is.
Okay. Yep. And who had Jamie French and Kalik Lockett?
Ryan Wingo and Jonte Cook combo.
Okay. Yep. Both of them. Good stuff. All right. That's some good stuff there. from Jerry and CJ. Let's go to this one and ask for Longhorn football edits. Which visit family seemed most excited about Texas? And a shameless plug, go to follow Longhorn football edits on all socials. We don't really allow that, but that one got past the scanner here, the sensor. Longhorn football edits wants to know, though, which visit family seemed most excited about Texas?
That's a good question.
French.
That's a really good question.
French. Based on what I told, was told DJ Sanders, I think the Faramo fan, CJ got the interview. I don't know if Texas is going to beat Notre Dame because he's been a long time Notre Dame leaning, heavy lean. But Texas gave them something to really think about. And I think the Faramos walked away from Austin saying, if my kid went here, I'd be okay with it.
The Faramos were who I was going to bring up, Jerry, and I think that's a great point. Of course, they talked about their time, just kind of seeing Austin in its entirety, going around the city, having lunch. They actually had some food catered in for the official visitors this weekend. But just to kind of explore what life in Austin would be like as a college football student athlete, I think they made a strong impression there, and they're heading back west. They left with smiles on their faces, I'll say that.
This one from Jason Hernandez. How is Texas A&M able to get so many five-star defensive tackles, and Texas has struggled doing so? They are our little brother. Here's the reality of it. When A&M got all those five-star defensive tackles, they were using NIL when NIL wasn't NIL. That's the reality of it. No offense to them. Some of them have already transferred out, but very true, in my opinion, despite what Jimbo argued against publicly. So that's part of it, Jason. They haven't exactly lit the world on fire of late recruiting. So just realize that.
Yeah. I mean, if you just think there's a, you know, you go into Atlanta and get LT Overton. You go into wherever he was at the time and get Walter Nolan. I mean, it was in Tennessee, but that he moved around a lot. You know, you go into New Jersey and grab five-star guys. I mean, look, that's, you know. Splurge.
Yeah, you're not going to get it. You're just not going to get it. Live Free, Rent Free is asking again. We talked about this earlier about Jabari Anton decommitment. Does that have anything to do with Cade Phillips' interest in LSU? I really don't think it has anything to do with Cade Phillips. And I don't think that it – like, people are wanting to put two and two together that now Texas all of a sudden is going to be on Jabari Anton. We don't think that's even in the category of possible right now.
No, Let's say this. When Corey Raymond came back to LSU, he committed immediately. One of Corey Raymond's really good friends is the head coach at Westgate High. But when Antoine started saying he was going to take official visits, he went to Miami, somewhere else, maybe Florida State, one of the two. Texas didn't even really go back in and push for an official visit that we ever heard of. So I think that kind of was I think Texas just liked some other guys better.
Fair enough. All right. I want to say thank you to our sponsor, the Sunday Night Live stream brought to you by our friend Joe Brown. Southside Bank has been based in Texas for more than 60 years, but can also do mortgage loans in most other states. Joe Brown is a proud U.S. Navy veteran and is committed to serving his fellow vets with no down payment VA loans up to $2 million. Southside is a new type of construction loan that also allows a simple modification if rates are lower after your new home is built, which saves you the cost of refinancing. If you're self-employed, you may know that getting a mortgage can be more challenging than ever. That's why Joe's experience with more than 4,000 families in his career in lending to business owners as well as families can make the process that much smoother. Give him a call, 512-663-4744. That's 512-663-4744. Thank you, Joe, for your sponsorship. All right, we've got a couple more questions in the queue. Feel free to get them going right now. Brandon Rawlson says, let's not worry about defensive tackle. Sark will handle it. Jerry, you think that's a fair comment? I mean, we got to worry about something sometimes.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Well, I mean, look, it's last year it was defensive back, right, coming out of the summer. And then, you know, Kobe Black committed, Wardell Mack flipped, and then ultimately Xavier Filsonby flipped when the Gators season got eaten by Gators. So that I think there's always something, right? Nobody fills all the needs. So I do think from a Texas fan perspective, I get it. I totally get it because – If Sharma goes to Alabama and Myron Charles goes to FSU, you're going to be sitting there saying, we got some work to do here as Texas fan. We got a little work to do here. The thing about it is Sark will they'll hang around the rim and they'll continue to plug away. And I guarantee you this, even if Texas gets 3D linemen, even if things fall their way in the next 3 weeks, there will be somebody pop up as a senior committed elsewhere that Texas says, hey, man, we might have missed on this guy earlier. We need to go back and try to get him. That's going to happen, even if Texas gets three guys. Even if they kind of domino here and get three guys. I still think that's going to happen in this class. Is the one thing to remember to add to that, Kenny Baker got in late. So in the spring, while you have time to go out, you don't have time to go out and evaluate all those guys. You got to go see some 26s as well, right? Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some guys that they're going to see as seniors that are committed elsewhere that they may like and say, that guy's probably better than we thought. That it's going to happen.
Got it. All right, Jerry, this one's going to be from Victor Santiago. You or CJ, feel free to answer this one. How many linebackers and wide receivers are we taking in this class? 3 to 4 for each group? Good question, Victor.
Yeah, Jerry hit on it earlier today. 3, probably the spot for the wide receiver spot. They're not going to take 4 just to take 4. That's, of course, what Jerry was saying earlier. Linebacker to me is absolutely 3. And I think that's more evident by how many guys they brought in for official visits, right? They only brought in 4 guys, Jonathan Cunningham, obviously Elijah Barnes in the fold, Riley Pettijohn, Madden Foraimo. That's really where they're fighting and getting an idea of who might be in the class. Of course, I think – that second spot will come down to either Riley Pettijohn or Madden Foraimo. And, of course, I think Texas is right there in the thick of things for Jonathan Cunningham as well in North Crowley. So 3 could certainly be the spot there. I don't see them going to 4, though.
I would say this, too, to add to that, Bobby, and this may have been what you were going to say, and if it is, I'm sorry. Look at a guy like Mataya Tagoi committed to USC. Texas will chill, see what happens with USC's the vaunted defense this year on the field and see if Lincoln Riley's interviewing for NFL jobs before the season's over. We'll see what happens. They'll hang around the rim.
That's not what I was going to say, but it's a very good point and an astute one because you have to look at where guys might be leaving from, right, and kind of plan ahead a little bit. I would say this. I think it's 3 to 4 for wide receiver, depending if you get the right 4, because they brought in more than just 5. I mean, I think they brought in 7 or 8 wide receivers. At linebacker, the difference is Texas only took 1 linebacker last year with Ty'Anthony Smith.
Yeah.
So they definitely need to get 3 this year, in my opinion.
And it's Nance's first class.
Right. And so they can't just do 2. So I think right now, I think Bo Barnes is obviously in the class already, but I feel very good about where Texas sits with Jonathan Cunningham. And then it becomes, then is it Foraimo or Pettijohn, or is it Pettijohn? I mean, I don't know that answer. My point being, I think Texas definitely goes 3 at linebacker. I think Barnes and Cunningham are good bets. At least I know Barnes is. I think Cunningham could be in that category. Then you look at whether or not it's Faramo or Pettijohn. You know, some recruiting left to do, it sounds like, based on what CJ's intel is out of Aggieland today for Pettijohn. At wide receiver, I think it's a little different. I think it's three or four, and it's only four if it involves speed.
Yes.
Like elite speed. Kelshawn Johnson and or Tanuk Hines.
Yes.
And so this Elko three plus Johnson and or Hines if they need to, if they think.
Yeah, I agree with Bobby. And the answer to this is the ball's in Sark's court. That's what we'll have to say to that. The ball's in Sark's court on both of those recruitments.
Absolutely. That's what I was getting at. All right. Hey, we talked about just right now about Riley Pettijohn. Guys, how do y'all feel? This is a repeat question, but it's important enough to go over because he's a five-star prospect and see if y'all had anything you wanted to add on it. How do you guys feel the Michael Fasusi visit went? He's the big offensive tackle out of Louisville.
I think it went well. I mean, I think Texas did a great job with that. I think he had a great visit to Oklahoma as well. I think what Kyle Flood is really good at, besides wearing the Nigerian soccer shirt in the photo with Michael Fasusi, which is that's an experienced recruiter, by the way. I think what he's so good at is doing a great job illustrating his resume for development with that process. I think that is a real strength to Kyle Flood, is the way he communicates that. And guy, every lineman, and CJ knows this, he's talked to these guys too. Have you ever heard a lineman say anything bad about Kyle Flood? He's really strong at making his point in a very easy to understand way, in a way that resonates with 17-year-old kids.
Good stuff. It's the way it works. You know, that's just the way it works. Hey, a couple other comments and questions here. This one is an interesting one, Jerry. Rick Amberguy, does great UT question. Have a legit shot to get Nick Brooks, even if Fasusi commits? I've got a question. What if Brooks commits before Fasusi? I mean, if you're talking, because earlier today in this broadcast, at least, you were talking about Fasusi taking it a little longer. We know John Mills is out there, and he's waiting for his parents to get back from vacation, et cetera. Nick Brooks, Michael Fasusi, what are your thoughts there? Lamont Rogers has to make a decision sometime too as well. They could be filled at – they've got seven people on the hook with what we think are only six spots. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so the question to me, for me with OL recruiting, not question, just thought, it's all about timing. Because to your point, I could see Brooks and Fasusi taking a little longer before they announce publicly. Now, I think the colleges will have a very good idea of where these guys go. I think John Mills of that group would be the first one to make a decision. That's a Texas-Washington one. To Florida, that's not happening. And then you have Lamont Rogers, who's a wild card at FSU, midweek to OU. I know some schools are just kind of waffling back and forth on him because some visits the mom has been able to make, some she hasn't for family reasons. The dad went on a couple of visits, maybe didn't go on all the visits. He lives in Vicksburg, Mississippi. So that's, I think, the recruitment that's even tougher for the colleges to get a real good read on because there's not a lot of consistencies in the visits. So I think he's a total wild card. I do think he had a great visit to Texas from what I heard, but he's also been to Missouri, who he really likes the OL coach there. He's been to A&M. He's been to Oklahoma. He's been to Florida State. So he made use of all of his official visit possibilities. But it'll be interesting to see. I think it's so much is going to come down to timing. I will say this, though. If six guys, the level of players that are left, if six guys wanted in, I don't think Sark and Flood are turning them down. I'd be surprised.
Big guy, that's the interesting thing to me. Big guys win games, right? Big humans. And they've done so well recruiting up front on offense. You know, is it because Kyle Flood is so in tune with what Sark does and knows how to work with him, and whereas, and they had a previous relationship, whereas maybe Bo Davis and Sark didn't, and then Kenny Baker's now coming in blind a little bit. I'm interested to see if there's any interplay there that really is causing any issues. But I don't know. I think it's a little too early to worry too much about defensive tackle. I don't worry at all about offensive line. That's been proven, though. All right, here's one from Jameson Washington. Where does Texas sit with Javion Hilson, the defensive end out of Cocoa, Florida, and Tristan Castro, the defensive back out of Upland, California? Hilson earlier today said, hey, I'm sticking with Florida State after his Florida State visit. That's what he said publicly. To Jerry's point, is that what he's going to say privately in 24 to 48 hours? We don't know. But he took his visit to Texas while he was committed to Florida State, to be fair. What about Tristan Castro, guys? Defensive back out of Upland. Either of you guys have any intel there?
Yeah, this was, again, another commit elsewhere, right? He's committed to USC at the moment, took an official visit to Texas June 14th through 16th a week ago. So he came away with really high remarks for his time on campus. Of course, another guy that was able to see the city outside of just the football program and get an idea of what it's like to be a student athlete in Austin. He said it set the bar very high for his time in Austin, and he was going to use his official visit to Texas and compare that to his official visit to USC and come away with the decision in the next couple of days, weeks, very soon, early July. He said he would, you know, either reaffirm his commitment or things would move in a different direction there. Of course, the other interesting point there is, you know, where does he kind of place right now on this Texas big board? We've talked about it. Texas just hosted Aiden Anding. That obviously Cade Phillips wants a crack at cornerback. They have Caleb Chester in the fold. Is there enough room to take on a Tristan Castro commitment if he, you know, were to end up wanting to end, you know, attend Texas? So that's kind of the big point question I've got right now in his recruitment. But again, he's sitting there evaluating Texas and USC, still currently committed to the Trojans right now.
Bobby, I'm going to bring this one up because we like it when people call their shots because they always ask us to call their shots. So Jay Wilson's calling a shot. I don't know if I agree, but I like that you're calling your shot.
French, what did the post say there?
French Lockett and Morrow all be a Longhorns. He's on. He wanted to say he was on the record. All right, Jay Wilson, you're on the record.
You got a chance there, man. Adam Lane had this. Don't forget about Marco Jones. He also was at USC this weekend, the defensive end out of San Ramon Valley. Jerry, I know you liked him a lot.
Well, yeah, I think what's interesting there is if Javion Hilson – sticks with FSU, then Smith Orogbo and Marco Jones come more into play even than they were before, because I think Hilson was the top guy. But then you have obviously Marco Jones, who CJ and I saw at the airport last weekend. 6'4 and a half, 230 is legit. He was at USC this weekend. What's interesting about that is when he got on that plane and left the Texas visit, Isaiah Gibson was committed and Hayden Lowe were committed to USC. Isaiah Gibson since said, I'm good. That was a fun weekend, but I think I'm going to go play in the SEC over here. And by the way, Gibson was at Georgia this weekend. Shocker. That will be interesting. Does USC try to make a huge push? Because that was Texas, Michigan for Marco Jones. Where's Texas at? Marco Jones, Smith Orogbo. Two totally different players, by the way. Marco Jones is more of the bigger power end, I think, long-term. Where Smith Orogbo is a twitched up guy off the edge. Two different players. It'll be interesting. Smith Orogbo was at OU, CJ, this weekend. I don't know if you have you heard anything on that?
Yeah, I have. They're coming out of Oklahoma. I think the text I actually just received was that folks think it's between Texas Tech and Oklahoma, which kind of differs from what we had heard a week ago with him leaving Texas. But to that point, he was only by himself whenever he attended Texas officially. So moving forward, how much of his parents being able to attend other places will play into a factor for his decision. Of course, I think that is very important to get the parent stamp of approval there.
Interesting.
Bobby's this guy, Joey Fletch, he got in late, so I want to read this one real quick because we do feel like Texas is in a good spot over Michigan for DJ Sanders out of Belleville. I think he announces within the next 10 days. But we'll see what happens. It's still got to play out. I'm not saying he's announcing for Texas. I think he's going to announce a decision inside the next 10 days. And I think there's some confidence. I think they had a really good visit.
All right. Living free, rent free in UT. Could you guys see a tight end class with Amari Winston and Michael Terry? We don't talk about Michael Terry enough on this channel, in my opinion. What do you guys think on Michael Terry, young man out of Alamo Heights? He's visited Texas. He's looked at Oregon, looked at A&M as well. There's some other schools like Nebraska involved. Where is that even headed right now with Texas?
I think he's Terry's a total wild card recruitment. He was at Oregon again this weekend. So that's two visits to Oregon in a month and a half, guys. And now Oregon's even talking about playing running back, right? Yeah. That's not – come on. I mean, that's recruiter of the year type stuff. That ain't happening. So so where is his fit going to be? But here's the question. After that first trip to Oregon, I was kind of told, hey, family, hey, man, that'd be hard to get to for 3 or 4 years. That'd be hard travel, tough travel, hard to get to. I think he's one of the best athletes in the country. But, CJ, it's such an interesting wild card recruitment because – you have Nebraska saying wide receiver. You have Oregon saying, we'll hand you the ball off in the Big Ten. Get out of here with that. And then you have A&M in Texas recruiting him as an athlete with tight end possible, edge, outside linebacker, rush, a spot possible. I think Nebraska and Oregon are probably on it and what the kid wants to hear, even if maybe some people around him don't think that's the long-term answer for him as a prospect. That total wild card recruit.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Yeah, 100%. And the big thing for Texas in this one is, hey, you're 45 minutes to an hour down the road, right? You can come up, you know, go home for Sunday dinner if you wanted to. The thing that is really interesting is when those conversations were had at Texas, how many other coaches on the staff were involved in that recruitment, right? He took that photo as he was leaving his official visit, and you can name 5 or 6 different staff members that were all a part of this recruitment when he was on campus earlier in June. AJ Milwee, you know, Tashard Choice, Jeff Banks, they basically had everybody. PK was, you know, in the photo as well. So it's a full, you know, effort by this Texas staff to go out and recruit Michael Terry right now. The question is whether or not he's buying into what he's being told elsewhere, or if he's looking at it long-term with what might be the best position for him as a true athlete. We'll figure it out whenever you arrive on campus.
Hey, Bobby, I need to bring up one because – oh, go ahead. I'll bring it up.
Yeah, Justin Yarbrough. Can y'all compare – thanks for the super chat, Justin. Can y'all compare what recruits have said about Sark and the program before versus now, and how big will the July pool party be going into football season? You know, that let's explain, first of all, what the pool party is. So there is this is the final recruiting weekend that is a live weekend for the recruiting for this cycle, so to speak, until late July when players are able to start taking visits, unofficial visits again. Okay, so Texas has a weekend at the end of July where they'll invite a bunch of recruits back for a on-campus pool party. That's what Justin's referencing for those unaware. It could be lit, to use a term, according to some. But what are they saying now about the Texas program versus when Sark maybe just took over? That's the question that
I think. I thought he meant prior staff.
It could be the prior staff before he took over.
I think the main thing that Sark has going for him, and I think it's more important than ever as a head coach, is genuine with players, genuine with recruiting. I've said this before because look, the show we're on here, you can literally go to YouTube and search Steve Sarkisian press conferences if you're a parent or a kid and find any press conference he's done that's been posted on YouTube. You can compare with what he tells you with what he said. It's easier nowadays for a recruit to go DM another recruit and say, hey, man, this is what he told me. What did he tell you? It's just so much easier now to cross-communicate,
to go back and check a coach's work on what he said before on video, whether it's YouTube or whatever you can find. You can find articles, whatever. It's so much easier to access now that you better be genuine. And I do think Steve Sarkisian is genuine with prospects, with parents, and his players. And I think that's the biggest change in the Texas program.
I'll piggyback on that. What I've heard a lot of is I think Texas is really pushing the success that they had in the NFL draft this year. Of course, these kids watch the college football playoff. They know Texas was, you know, very close to a national championship this year. That's great. You know, there's no knocking that. But the biggest knock Texas had to overcome over the last decade plus was getting talented recruits and carrying out their developments into NFL caliber prospects. Having 11 guys drafted this past year has been pushed, and it's been mentioned by a number of guys leaving the Austin airport to go back home after official visits as one thing that they took away from their time on campus, saying, if I come to Texas, I know I'll be developed. Hasn't always been the case, but it's something I've heard more and more and more as the June weekends have carried on over the last month.
I got to like this one here. From Rick Ambria, if Nick Brooks is at the pool party, they better not allow cannonballs. That's getting a little cheeky there. All right, let's go to this one. Grady Jenkins, I may have missed it earlier, but how are we feeling about Nick Townsend after this weekend?
He had a really good visit. Nothing of substance there. I do think he's a tight end. I think there's always chatter with a guy that's that. He's a top underkin in the country to me on either side of the ball. But I do think tight end is where he'll be. He's mentioned to me. Sometimes he says, I don't really have a preference, but a lot of times he's like, I prefer tight end. I mean, and which kid doesn't prefer offense these days? But I think that Alabama, Texas A&M are all going to battle out. I think Alabama was in a pretty good spot headed into the Texas visit. A&M's message to him last weekend was, come team up with Cody Armstrong and be the best tight end room in the country. Alabama was telling him, you'll be the only tight end we take if you come here. Yet Caleb Edwards visited with his girlfriend, by the way, after that. And then he's been to Texas this weekend. So we'll see which way it goes. I think he had a really good visit to Texas, though. Hey, I want to bring this one up, Bobby, because Ekim brought this up. Because this is a cool thing in sports. He's calling the shot. Oilers winning game 7 in the Stanley Cup. That'd be coming back from a 3-0 deficit to Florida Panthers, which hadn't happened in hockey since 1945. But game 7s are one of the best things about sports. And even if you're not a hockey fan, you got a game 7 tomorrow night for all the marbles of the Stanley Cup. That's fun. And by the way, we haven't brought it up, but I'm sure there's a lot of Tennessee fans on this chat tomorrow night, but there's a big game up in Omaha too. Game 3.
If you didn't catch it, the Volunteers evened the series with A&M earlier today in the College World Series. For the NCAA championship in baseball. Texas has still not made any sort of announcement about its baseball coach or the future of its baseball program. There are all kinds of rumors and innuendo out there right now that either one of these two coaches that are coaching in this World Series are going to be the next head coach at Texas.
I think that's the case.
I think a number of people do.
I'm calling my shot.
I think a number of people do. Hey, this one from Victor Santiago. Any truth on Sark telling some kids to hold off on committing to Texas due to waiting on higher targets to decide? Look, we get this kind of question every year. I don't think so. I think if you're the coach, you just don't pick up the phone if you don't want him to commit. Or you know ahead of time. You don't go in and recruit these guys like that. You just don't.
Jerry? Yeah. Well, yeah, I will say this, though. When you start winning at a high level, yeah, you have to tell some kids no. And that's been going on since January in this class, since the junior days. I mean, there's kids that wanted to come to commit, and you can't take them all. That definitely happens. I mean, just think about how many kids probably tried to commit to Nick Saban in the last 15 years. How many guys did he turn down? Hundreds. Because you can't take them all. And, you know, you have to go after the guys you think are the ranked the highest on your board.
Hey, here's a good question from Major Alexander. We're getting close to the end here of this live stream. Appreciate you guys joining us tonight so much. A lot of news breaking in Austin after the big official visit weekend. How many of them are committing to Texas? Major Alexander wants to know. Texas currently at 11 commitments. We think they're going to go to at least 23, 24, 25. Texas had 17 official visitors this weekend, seven of them already committed. How many of these that you that visited this weekend will actually commit to Texas? Right now, we don't have a definitive number. There's no way of telling that, although we do believe that some people have said have made their decisions privately. We can't make them publicly for them. But I'm going to go over the ones that have yet to make a decision that came in this weekend, Jerry and CJ. And I want you both to give me a number of you think that you think Texas will actually end up signing from it. Jamie French, Kalik Lockett at wide receiver, Nick Townsend at tight end, Michael Fasusi was the only uncommitted offensive line prospect, DJ Sanders, defensive tackle out of Belleville, Madden Faramo, linebacker out of California. And then the three DBs, Cade Phillips, Aiden Anding, and Devin Williams, those three. How many do you think Texas will end up signing out of those 10 uncommitted prospects?
That was 10 total?
I believe so.
I think five.
Okay, I had six, so
very it's actually close. Nine. It's actually nine. I do believe.
Yeah, that's what I thought, nine. I think five.
Five versus six, CJ?
Yep. Yep.
I am going with – I'm going with five also. Going with five also.
That's a good weekend, by the way.
Yeah. Let's finish it up with a couple more questions here. Major Alexander, who's a silent commit coming out of the weekend? Major, we can't do that for $499, much less $499, bud.
He added in another thing that said that was a typo. I think he said, was there a silent commitment coming out of the weekend? Absolutely.
Okay. Yes. Fair enough. Okay. All right. Lamont Rogers, they want to know about him, the big offensive lineman out of the Dallas area. Any updates on him from LL?
I have not heard anything post FSU weekend. I think it's a real wild card recruitment. We kind of hit on it earlier, but we're over 6,000 people on this now. So we may need to go a few extra minutes, guys. Look, the reality is his dad lives in Vicksburg. His mom obviously lives in Mesquite. Dad hasn't been able to make all the official visits. Mom hasn't been able to make all the official visits. She's had a family reason. So it makes it a wild card for the colleges too, because there's not real consistency in the visit, so to speak. So that we're saying it's a wild card. I think it's a wild card for the colleges too. I will say this. I think he had a great visit to Texas. What does that mean? I don't know. I think the way the timing of the offensive line guys, there's four guys for Texas. There's John Mills, Lamont Rogers, Michael Fasusi, and Nick Brooks. What's the timing of these guys committing? I think that is going to play into it. Very heavily. I think Fasusi, Nick Brooks will be the last two guys to announce decisions publicly, but I think the colleges privately will know.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. I think that is going to just about do it right now. I got to say that. A lot of information on this Sunday night, a lot of information all weekend long. You guys will be hitting the phones after this show for finding out how other players on official visits elsewhere did. If there's been any subsequent news or notes for the Longhorns, you guys can all check out on texasfootball.com. Right now we have a special. It's an ongoing special. This first 6 months we're doing it. You can become an OTF OG if you're a subscribe, if you want to subscribe to ontexasfootball.com, and you get $20 off the annual subscription. It's $39.95 for 1 year, just $39.95. Use the promo code OTF OG on texasfootball.com. All right, Jerry, anything else tonight?
Somebody's got a question for you. OTF merch soon?
Yes, we've got some coming. I actually started the ordering process today, so it won't just be Jerry's and CJ's shirts that y'all can get excited about. That's one of those things that we're going to do, definitely. Appreciate everybody joining us again. CJ and Jerry, thank you all very much for the hard work over the weekend. Much appreciated. I know the guys here also do as well as I do. I was watching vicariously through y'all this weekend as well. Jerry, you and I will be back tomorrow morning as well for the Coffee and Football with Blake Monroe. So, but for tonight, For CJ Vogel, Jerry Hamilton, and our producer from behind the scenes, Matthew Hutchison, I'm Bobby Burton. That's been the Longhorn Live Stream. Thank you also to our friend Joe Brown, veteran mortgage professional over at Southside Bank.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.